Indeed, may God give us an undivided heart, undivided mind, and undivided love. Not tomorrow, not tonight, but now. So as we sing the song, may this song remind and encourage us. Come and be here with an undivided heart, undivided mind, and undivided love for the Lord. So that you come this morning is not come as a customer or consumer. To see, this talk, is it interesting? Is it good to listen or waste my time? No, you are not a customer or consumer. Look at this talking product. No, you are the team. So as we come together, we pray that. All of us engage and pray that we can know the word of God. If what I'm saying is the word of God, listen carefully. If what I'm saying is not very accurate, then you need to discern. So it requires not only your heart, your love, also your mind. Because the Bible told us that we need to love our Lord with all our soul, all our heart, and all our mind. Okay, so let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for what you have done for us. Such a precious salvation. Lord, we come to you this morning. We pray that you open our heart and mind and love to you, so that we can come to hear you. We pray that the Holy Spirit help the speaker, help the listener, so that we all in one team to look at what you have done for us, what kind of God we have, such a good God, so that we can give you glory and bless your name. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a request. The request is to, when you listen, you pray for me and pray for yourself. Today you need to pray, particularly because 2 days ago, originally I thought I had prepared a message for, you know, it's just need a final touch. But 2 days ago, I found I need to change the structure, change the things. Then I don't know, and I don't have enough time. So usually, if I don't have enough time, or usually if you hear speaker speaking for more, much more than the scheduled time, quite likely, because the preparation is not, probably the time for preparation is not quite enough. So today, my preparation is not quite enough. And there's a risk that the time will go and pass. So pray that you can be free on time. And so that, and also my burden can share clearly. This morning we are going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Yes, can you see at the back? Okay, good. The verse, only one verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Before we start looking at this verse, let us think about a few things. Have you heard of what is the happy index? Who has heard about happy index? Yeah, good, two. Only two. Okay. The happy index is from the reputed annual World Happiness Reports. These reports are owned by Oxford Wellbeing Research Center. and are relied on heavily by the United Nations for their sustainable development goals. This happy index measures and reflects reflects six aspects of life in life. First, GDP per capita, economic strength, social support, having someone to count on, healthy life expectancy, physical and mental health, freedom to make life choices, generosity, donation, donating to charity, helping others, absence of corruption, trust in government and business. Happy index. Which country has the highest happy index currently among 140 countries in the world? Do you know? Australia? Who? Which country? Sorry? Switzerland? Maybe. Not maybe. Absolutely. It's not. But maybe close. Yeah. Okay. Sorry? Philippines. The happy index. The first ranking. Philippines or China? Okay, let us have a look. I only pick a few. 2026. The first one is Finland. How about Australia? 15, not too bad. We are relatively happy compared with most of the countries in the world. Are you happy yourself? Okay, how about Uruguay? My daughter is over there, Uruguay. Yeah. 36. Japan, Tiana is over there. 55. China. Most of us come from there. Or from your parents' womb, right? From there. 68. India. 118. Quite an unhappy nation. Based on these figures, the young people in most OECD countries, those are highlighted in yellow, are unhappier than the overall population of the country. Interestingly, these countries are usually associated with high income, developed, and industrialized economies. But you see, most of them have very negative comparison. The 2024. Compare the young people happiness and the overall population of the country. United States is the worst. Australia, no. Most of them is over 10, right? So now here are two questions I would like to ask you. One. From the scale to 0 to 10, how do you rate your current self on your happiness or sense of blessedness? Think about that. It is your own question. From 0 to 10, currently, not when you are 2 or 3, for elderly, not you are young, but currently, from 0 to 10, how you rate? You can feel safe. I won't ask you to share about this, at least here. From 0 to 10, what is the index you give yourself? 0 to 10. Another question. Among the above six aspects of life, each of you choose two aspects which are affecting your happiness or sense of happiness or blessedness the most. Everyone is different, but choose two for yourself. choose to. One is the scale, 0 to 10. One question. The second question is choose two from the list. For yourself, you think, to you, these two is the most impactful to my happiness or sense of blessedness. GDP per capita. I will be happy if I have as much money as I want. Social support. I'll be happy if I have very close and supportive relationships. Healthy life expectancy. I'll be happy if I'm physically and mentally strong and resilient. Freedom. I'll be happy if I have freedom to do whatever I want to choose to do. Generosity. I'll be happy if I'm able to give and help others. Absence of corruption. I'll be happy if I live in a society without corruption. Which two you choose? I guess you have already rated your happiness or sense of blessedness, and also have picked the two crucial aspects for you. Let me ask another question. Are you a happy person? Are you a happy person? Are you an under 30 years old young people? Just like the OECD country. Are you an under 30 years old happy young person? If yes, what is that? Anyway, thank God for that, right? If no, do you know why? In the world, so many people seek for happiness. If you're not happy, do you know why? Then you should ask God. Ask God. If you say yes, thank God. If you say no, ask God. Even now, during this time, in the message time. Today we are going to look at the blessedness of Ephesian Christians and also your own blessedness and sense of blessedness. We're going to focus on only one single verse, which is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Yeah. How about, I read it once again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In order to understand this verse 3 better, it will be helpful for us to read from the very beginning, verse 1. So this morning I would like you to read together for these three verses. Read together. Everyone read together, okay? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. As Paul said in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have God to be our Father, we experience grace and peace. But how can I have God to be my father and become his child? This is when I trust myself to Jesus to be my personal Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the earlier you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sooner you become a child of God, having him to be your father. The sooner you become a child of God, the more you can enjoy his grace and peace. The more you can enjoy his grace and peace, the more you want to bless the God our Father with praises and thanks. That is why Paul said in verse 3, first part, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if anyone has not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, hope you believe as soon as possible. No one knows when we stop our breath on earth. A few days ago, I shared with a friend about my friend about 30 years ago, died suddenly on the road, on the freeway. No one knows. He didn't know he'll be dying, but he died straight away on the freeway. So, if we haven't yet believed in the Lord, hope that we believe, trust the Lord as soon as possible. On the other hand, how can we enjoy God's grace and peace? It is through the spiritual blessings to us. The spiritual blessings to us from the blessed God, the Father. As Paul continues in verse 3, second part. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. This is the verse we are focusing today. The theme I would like to give to this verse is the spiritual blessings in Christ. I'm going to look at this theme in three main points. The first, blessed be the blessed God. God is the blesser. Blessed be the blessed God. Second, the blessings being blessed by him. The blessing being blessed. That's the third one. The blessed believer in Christ. So let us look at the first main point, the blessed God. Paul said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Firstly, in verse 3, blessed be God, the Father. Blessed be the God. God is the mighty creator of all things. He delights in giving grace and peace. He delights in blessing. He is a good God. God is love. God is holy. God is full of grace and truth. God is almighty. God is worthy to be blessed and honored because of who he is. So good to have such a good God, all good, almighty, to be the God of creation, of the God of universe. Because of that, we can be sure that God's goodness and love will reign, won't be defeated, will reign. Imagine, if a creator God is almighty, but bad, like Satan, then no matter how happy we are on earth, and how good ranking for the happy index we have, we all are doomed for eternal tyranny and torture by the very wicked and evil Satan. Or imagine, if the Creator God is all good, but not almighty, and is less powerful than another being in the universe, then we are doomed as well. But we know for sure that our Creator God, the God of the universe, is both almighty and all good. He will reign forever. Whatever good things, good thoughts he wants, he will accomplish. Such a wonderful knowledge and acknowledgement. So we don't need to fear anything. Our only need is to trust him and on his side, not on the Satan's side. By this, we can overcome death and our old self, sinful self, and Satan, having a very bright and blessed and glorious future for eternity. Having such a secure and assured glorious future destination, how can we not but bless and praise our great and good God for who he is? So here, blessed be the God. Secondly, God is worthy to be blessed also because of not only who he is, but also what he has done for us. In the original biblical Greek, the meaning of the first part of verse 3, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, means blessed be the one who is God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Father who, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why Paul uses such a long phrase to describe God? Why can't he just blessed be the God? That's it. Why? There's a reason. Why blessed be God the Father? Because he is the one who will give grace and peace, mentioned in verse 2. He also blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in verse 3. Thirdly, God here is described as God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. On one hand, God is described as the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. This points us to see our Lord Jesus Christ being a real Son of Man on earth. His death as a sinless, real, true man with flesh and blood. This real man qualified him to substitute us as a sinful man, substitute us sinful men as a sinless man to receive the punishment from God, the holy and righteous Creator, judgment of sin for all men's sins. Because he is the real man, he is qualified to substitute us. Secondly, on the other hand, God is described as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This points us to see our Lord Jesus being the Son of God, his Father. His death as the single almighty Son of God has unlimited effectiveness to substitute all mankind as the single sin offering to remove the sins of all people in the world. Through this effective substitution, effective legitimate, qualified substitution, our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished once for all such a complete and effective salvation as a Son of Man and also as Son of God. That's how grace and peace can pass to us. Also, by the Holy Spirit transformation work in our lives, through the spiritual blessings mentioned in verse 3, this grace and peace will be more and more experienced and experienced in our life and transform us. Therefore, not only we can and we should bless and adore our God for who He is, we can and also we should also bless and adore our God the Father for what He has done for us, giving us grace and peace through all the spiritual blessings in Christ. Actually, one of the very, very important purposes of our life, the meaning of our existence, is to bless God with praises and thanks and adoration and love. This is why we are created. This is our very privileged identity and purpose. So next time, when you get a chance to sing a song of worship, sing with gratefulness and thanksgiving, praises, adoration, and love, with all your heart to bless our worthy God. I'm not sure how you sing song in the breaking of bread, how you sing song before the message. Next time, when you sing, use the opportunity to exercise your wonderful privilege. It's the meaning and value of your existence to bless the Lord. Not only bless Him with songs, but also in your words, speaking, and walks in your life to glorify Him, to bless Him. Let us now look at the second main point, the blessings being blessed. The blessing being blessed, the second point. We look at every spiritual blessing. What are the nature of characteristics of these spiritual blessings? Firstly, they are blessings, not curses. They are good things, not bad things, because our God is a good God. They are for our well-being and benefits. They are enhancing our peace and joy. They enhance our blessedness and sense of blessedness, increase our blessedness index. These spiritual blessings increase our peace and joy. The Oxford University Happy Index depends heavily on the outward changeable surroundings and situations. The peace and joy through these spiritual blessings can empower us to surpass the changing environment, to advance and to grow, even in hardship. Secondly, these blessings are spiritual, not earthly or worldly. They are spiritual blessings. They are not worldly or earthly blessings. They are not the physical, material blessing in this world like those Abraham in the Old Testament have. Like earthly possessions, gold, silver, sheep, numerous descendants under the Old Covenant, Old Testament. These spiritual blessings are not those promised by the prosperity gospel false preacher, false teacher, such as personal health, wealth, and success. They are not physical, earthly blessing. They're also not earthly psychological blessings, such as sense of safety or security due to having a permanent residence in Australia, in this prosperous, comfortable, relatively economically, politically stable Australia. Such as some psychological blessing like a good self-image, a sense of satisfaction due to having a good education, a good HSC or high ATAR, a secure or respectable profession, an enviable marriage or family. These spiritual blessings are also not earthly mental blessings like high IQ, intelligent quotient, high EQ, emotional quotient, high SQ. Do you know what is SQ? Social quotient. What is social quotient? Social quotient measures your ability to build and maintain a lasting network of friendships or and professional relationships. Or high AQ. Do you know what is AQ? Adversity quotient. This measures how well you can endure, adapt, and bounce back stronger when faced with life challenges, stress, or disruption. Or even high DQ. You know what DQ? Now, there's a lot of Q. Digital quotient, which assess your digital readiness and your ability to adapt to, navigate, and leverage modern technology tools like AI. The spiritual blessings are not all this. Not physical, psychological, mental blessing, but spiritual blessings. All these other blessings, the world, people in this world, day by day, day and night, to strive for those earthly blessings as much as they can gain. On the other hand, none of these earthly, physical, psychological, mental blessings can hinder none of the lacking of this earthly blessing can hinder believers to enjoy these spiritual blessings from God. That means spiritual blessings are spiritual. That means they are of the Holy Spirit, not of the fallen, sinful self. That means they are for the Holy Spirit, not for the old Adam's life. These are very good spiritual blessings. Although all these spiritual blessings are not referring to any of the above earthly blessings, they are only to be enjoyed by believers when they go to heaven. All these spiritual blessings can be experienced by us now and here on earth. Because God did not call us out of the physical world. He only called us not to be of the world. In John chapter 17. He called us not to be conformed by the fallen world. In Romans chapter 12. Therefore, believers are not forbidden to enjoy the common grace God provided to both of us believers and non-believers on earth, such as warm and bright sunlight outside, or the life-sustaining rainfall. These are common grace. God gives precious spiritual blessings to us, but God doesn't forbid us to enjoy the common grace like the non-believers. Although the non-believers only have common grace, they don't have special grace. salvation. But God led us to enjoy. Paul also tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that God is the one who richly provides to us. Therefore, believers can enjoy everything God provides to us, richly provides us, for us to enjoy, but only not to love or have emotional attachment to the earthly blessings, with the desire of the flesh, desire of the eyes, and the pride of life. 30. These spiritual blessings are long-lasting because they are in the heavenly places. The heavenly places are long-lasting, so the heavenly spiritual blessings also are. They are long-lasting, unlike the earthly blessings in people's momentary life on earth, in the momentary world for just a moment. We can experience all these heavenly spiritual blessings here and now on earth and continue to enjoy in an even fuller extent after Christ returns. So here and now, what do you treasure and work for? Not only all earthly blessings are momentary, all earthly suffering are also momentary as well. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away like elderly man," like me or some other people sitting. Maybe I'm the oldest. "Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So these long-lasting, glorious spiritual blessings give us hope in the midst of the comparatively light momentary affliction on earth. When I reflect on my life, very difficult times or periods, this hope gave me patience and strength to persevere the current earthly hardship without losing heart. First, comparing with eternity, this pain on earth is only light and momentary. Second, no matter how weak and low I am now, I know for sure God will keep me even in this dark time with Him. Thirdly, God's goodness and faithfulness will surely successfully bring me to a full experience of the spiritual blessings He has given me. So we can still sing song when I'm low, as well as when I'm happy. There's a song called I can sing in whatever day and sad or down. It's true, we can sing because of this hope, because of this hope of fully experience the riches and reality of these spiritual blessings. Okay, lastly, the scope of these spiritual blessings includes every blessings in the heavenly places. That is all blessings in the heavens, not just partly, but all the good blessings. That includes every blessing we need. Even those blessings we are not aware, but will be so precious. All are for us. These blessings include forgiveness of sin, which is peace with the righteous God. That's a starting point. And holiness, adoption as sons, like Jesus Christ, mature son. Receiving of the Holy Spirit, steadfast love, eternal security, assurance of salvation, so on, to a state being filled and surrounded with God's love and His fullness and all His riches in Christ, not only individually, corporately. These spiritual blessings are numerous and abundant. All these many spiritual blessings can be bring us great blessings with high blessing index, and hence high sense of blessings with peace and joy while we are on our pilgrimage to our heavenly home. Okay, it's not working. Anyway, you listen to me then. We come to the third main point, the blessed believer in Christ. We just look at the blessed God who is worthy for us to bless and praise. We also look at the characteristics of these spiritual blessings. Now we are going to look at whom have been blessed with these spiritual blessings. This is the third and final point, main point, the blessed believers in Christ. Verse 3. Okay. Anyway. We come to the third point. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We focus on the middle part. Has blessed us in Christ. Us. Here refers to the Apostle Paul, the author of this Ephesians letter, and the Ephesian recipients of the letter. We know from verse 1 that the recipients of the letter are the Ephesian saints, which refer to believers believing in Christ. That means the recipients of these spiritual blessings are all believers, including the great apostles like Paul and the most little young believers. Also in verse 3, Paul used the phrase, very important phrase, in Christ, to describe the spiritual blessings and their recipients. Who are the recipients of the spiritual blessings? They are the recipients of the letter of Ephesians. This tells us these recipients of the spiritual blessing include everyone, including those apparently most insignificant little believers in man's eyes. Firstly, all these spiritual blessings are in Christ's blessings. These blessings are Christ-centered blessings. All these blessings are in Christ. That means what? Apart from Christ, no blessing remains. There are common grace on earth. But after Christ's return, no common grace anymore. No. The remaining is the spiritual blessings, the special grace. Apart from Christ, today, no matter how good, how many good common grace you have, you will pass away. This common grace on earth is help us to know the Lord, to encourage other people to know the Lord. They will be passing away. The real blessing, apart from Christ, no one can enjoy. So whatever blessing you have, don't boast. If it's not in Christ, it's nothing. Don't boast. You can only boast the blessing in Christ because of grace you can have. Why? Why in Christ? Because Christ is the center of God's love. Only in Christ we can become the center of God's love. Outside Christ, all are worthless. We sinners deserve only death and punishment because of our sin. In Christ means connecting and joining us with Christ so much, so close, so intimate, to an extent that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. Christ in us, we are in Christ. Christ in us, we are in Christ. So close. So these blessings are given to us in order to bring us to and with Christ together in a close and intimate relationship. So all these spiritual blessings are relational blessings. They are not some property, some possession. No. They are for relation. Relation. You know, nowadays a lot of people want gain to gain more. But all those gains are for themselves, it's not for relational. But these spiritual blessings are for relational. It's a relational blessing in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." So in Christ, there dwells the full riches of God, including his godliness, holiness, righteousness, his wisdom, his love, holy and righteous and loving relationship with him and in him. Very rich. Very precious. In Christ also tells us that this blessing can only be enjoyed by us only when we are connected and joined with Christ personally. So you come from Christian home, doesn't mean that you have the spiritual blessing. You are in Christ. Again, apart from Christ, no real blessing exists for all of us. Because there's no other name given to us so that we can be saved. Acts chapter 4 said that. Also, no another name, any other name, can be attached to Jesus Christ's name. Otherwise, you attach any name to his name, this spiritual blessing will be hindered and impacted. God is a zealous God. He wants no idol. So no name is qualified to attach to Jesus Christ. Today you know, a lot of Christians, I am a Christian, but I add other things. But no, you're Christian, you're in Christ. All other things has to put them in Christ. Otherwise, meaningless. Christ is the only medium, only channel for all these spiritual blessings. Why? Because he is the center of God the Father's love. Because all these things are relational blessings in Christ, So if we do not have a proper relationship with Jesus, all other earthly, even happy, sweet, loving relationships in the world are not of much and long-lasting value and meaning, as declared by the preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 and 14. Without God, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. Are you striving after wind? The preacher also preached in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 to 6, without God. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. So, in crisis, very important. What should we do? What should we focus so that to enable us to be in Christ? What? No, nothing. No one can, ourselves can, cannot place us ourselves in Christ. Only God can. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28, it said, to 31, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and satisfaction and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boast in the Lord. So, what should we do? We can't do anything. Only God can place us in Christ. The only thing we have to do is to receive. You can't earn, you can't do anything. You just receive. What is receive? Receive Christ. What is receive Christ? John chapter 1 tells us, receive Christ means believe in Christ. That's it. Nothing you can do, I can do. It's God to place us in Christ. By the way, it's already 11:30. If you need a break, or you have some other commitment, or you want to leave, feel free. But for those who are willing to listen, we can continue for hopefully 5 minutes or 10. Okay. In Christ has two meanings. One is union in Christ. Another meaning is communion with Christ. Union in Christ, we can't do anything, we just receive. It's God. Because we receive and believe, receive Christ, so God places us in Christ. Union with Christ, we can't do. We can't make any difference on that. We have no contribution on that. But another aspect is communion. Communion means have fellowship with Christ. We are not run away from Christ. We are not letting obvious sin or sin the Holy Spirit convict us. Let those things hinder us have fellowship with Christ. We should and we need to keep communion with Christ. So these two aspects. all these spiritual blessings has already given. Because verse 3 say, has blessed, already happened. So, all this, union, already done. But for communion, we need to keep, to stop ourselves to run away from Christ. So that this is the reason why we are saved. Because we connected with Christ, communion with Christ, then we can do good work in Christ. Bear fruit for Christ, for God. Okay. So, this is the communion part, is the Lord want us to co-work with Him, to engage ourselves to Him, with our new self we receive through belief. I just told a story and then we end. In the U.S., there is an oil field which is one of the biggest oil fields. It is called Yates Oil Field. It was discovered in 1926, 100 years ago. There's a story behind this big Yates Oil Field. Maybe some of you, maybe quite a few years ago, I talked about this. About a century ago, there was a couple called Ira Yates and Ann Yates. They bought a large piece of land in West Texas to be used for raising and care for their sheep. They own a business of sheep. Later, they struggled to generate enough income from the cattle business during a very dry period of time. No water. They experienced genuine financial pressures and was not able to pay the mortgage to the bank and taxes to government. One day, an oil company said to Ira Yates, "We suspect there is oil beneath your land. Are you willing to let us to do drill test?" Then they signed the contract. They have no hope. Right? They just signed the contract. And the oil company started to do the drill test. Then they found the first oil well, which was about 300 meters under the ground. It could produce 8,000 barrels of oil. Another well discovered, again, could produce 200,000 barrels. Gradually, they discover various oil wells, big and small. Because these discoveries, the couple become billionaires. Someone estimate the whole oil field in their land has produced more than 1 billion barrels of oil totally so far. It is still producing oil today, but it is sort of like a mature oil well. Using today's term, the price of one barrel, how much? One barrel of crude oil, how much do you know? You don't do investment. You don't buy petrol. Even you buy petrol, you don't know the crude oil. It's about 100 Australian dollar. Or when it's high, it's 100 US dollar. Is it more than that? But around that, think about 1 billion barrel. How much? Any mathematician? It's just a primary level. One barrel, 100. There's a 1 billion barrel, 100 billion. They become 100 billion billionaire. However, they call this centibillionaire. In fact, Ira and Ann Yates, they were centibillionaires long time ago before. They were centibillions when they bought the farmland. But they didn't need to live under such a big financial pressure or even such poverty for so long. The problem is they don't know. They didn't know they have so much oil, so many big oil wells. They couldn't enjoy the riches of this well in the past. So brothers and sisters, today you and I believe in Jesus and become Christians. Our names have been written in the book of life. However, because most of us don't know much of our heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings, we may still live a very poor Christian life on earth. So let us drill. Do drilling. Your precious, your oil is under the ground, maybe quite deep. Maybe some is not so deep, shallow, the small size of oils, shallower. The deeper one is bigger. Dig. Do the drill test. Not test, drill exercise. Because when you do this drill exercise, you will find oil. Because the oil has already given to you. The thing is, whether you pay attention to your communion with Christ and doing spiritual exercise, truly. Let us pray. Lord, we commit this, your own word to you. Lord, we pray that you incur a desire, a thirst, a zeal for us to search, to explore, to know, to drill, even with sweat and blood, to know, experience more your spiritual blessings. The people in this world, they try their very best to spread the sweat and blood and tears for the earthly blessings. Diligently, Lord, you help us to have a zeal for you, because your love to us is your zeal, so that we can have zeal to love you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.